Rent control measures are banned in Oregon. Meanwhile, rents are high and rising. Just finding a place to rent can be extremely challenging. There are at least half a dozen bills floating around the Oregon legislature right now to deal with these housing issues and others. On its agenda, rent control, tenant protections, and the ever not so popular cause of raising property taxes. Property taxes, which in Oregon are largely based on 27-year-old market assessments. The Speaker of the state's House of Representatives joins us now to discuss this pretzel of housing-related issues. Tina Kotek is a Democrat from Portland. Speaker Kotek, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Emily. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you proposed House Bill 2001, which would repeal Oregon's ban on rent control measures and cap rent increases at 5% until July 2018. The session starts Wednesday. What are the arguments against the bill you've proposed?
Well, and that's only one of the bills that's been introduced. In fact, I have one. There's another bill, House Bill 2004, that has 15 sponsors. So sometimes I point people there first as a good starting point. I think we can all agree we have a housing crisis around the state, not just affordable housing, but just more housing in general. And that was really caused by the fact that during the recession, we didn't build enough, and now we have a lot of people moving here, and we have had for the last several years. And so, a lot of demand, not enough supply. So we want to work on the supply side, obviously. But on the tenant protection side, what we're seeing is a very unstable renters market. We have, since the 80s, prohibited local communities from instituting rent stabilization policies. You know, some people call them rent control, rent stabilization, same thing, to try to manage a market. In this case, that's very volatile. Low vacancy rates, surging rents, a lot of instability in the community. So the bills that are being introduced are an attempt to say, how do we put some safeguards for tenants in such a difficult market? We'd like to lift the prohibition on local rent stabilization policies. We'd like to give communities around the state the option to try to figure out how to manage the rental market a little better. We're not talking first-generation rent control where there were hard caps on rent increases. A lot of jurisdictions around the country have rent stabilization, which allows a local discussion of how to make sure landlords have a good rate of return on their investment, but also manage increases in rents.
So right, and you mentioned HB 2004, just to catch mm-hmm. folks up. That's a no-cause eviction ban prohibiting landlords from evicting their month-to-month tenants without cause.
Correct.
What is a cause in that case?
Well, so you have two things going on, rent stabilization and making sure that when you are evicted, there's a cause given by the landlord. Right now, there's good cause terminations based on, not paying rent, doing other things that are clear reasons why someone should get evicted. But landlords also have the option in this state, after a certain amount of time, to evict someone with absolutely no cause. And we're seeing that happening in a lot of communities, particularly when people say, I need my apartment repaired, and the landlord's like, I'm just tired of this discussion. I'm going to, evict you, or I would like to, change over my entire apartment complex to increase the rent, so I'm just going to, terminate everyone's leases and start all over. That is happening in places around the state. So what we're trying to do is come up with a standard to improve, give a few extra reasons why landlords could evict, but in general, you'd have to have a good reason to evict someone. So we'd like to have a just cause standard here in the state to make it more fair for tenants.
And my first question, again, going back to House Bill 2001, mm-hmm. one of the bills you proposed to repeal Oregon's ban on rent control measures and cap rent increases at 5% for the next couple of years. What's the pushback you're getting?
Well, there's a whole lot of pushback. I think, whenever you talk about changing tenant landlord law or asking property owners to do a certain thing, which would be rent stabilization, there's pushback. And my argument is we're in a crisis. We need some solutions. The rent moratorium in House Bill 2001 is designed a short-term measure. It's a year. I'm open to whether 5% is the right percentage. Maybe it's a little higher than that. But what we're trying to say is let's put some stability into the market right now for at least a year. And in the meantime, hopefully allow local communities to have rent stabilization and work on some things. It's a very difficult market for renters right now. I'm sure you've been hearing from folks. We certainly are here in Portland.
And then there's House Bill 2003, similar, but it would rescind the ban and put it in the hands of local jurisdictions without imposing this cap on increases. Where do you stand on which of these is a better solution for Oregon's housing issues?
Well, I'm glad that we have a variety of bills. I'm not sure at the end of the day which is the perfect combination of things, but you see, we have a lot of choices. And what I'm hoping is the landlord community, the tenant community will come and engage in the committee's hearings that we're going to have on all those bills. So we can just lift the preemption and just let local communities do it. We could lift it with some criteria. We could just do just cause. We could do all of it. We could do the rent moratorium. I think we might need all of it. I do need to hear from folks. We need to hear from folks. They need to, you know, email us, let us know what they think, because we will be taking up all these bills in February.
And we'd love to hear from you right now here on the Jefferson Exchange with Tina Kotek, Speaker of the Oregon House and a Democrat from Portland. Bring us your concerns and your questions about housing issues in the state. 800-838-3760 is our phone number. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I want to transition here to talk about property taxes, another issue here on the legislature's agenda as you convene for session on Wednesday. People make the argument that Measure 50 left us with an unfair system for property taxation. People with properties worth a lot are paying rates based on 1995. People whose properties maybe aren't worth so much are still also paying rates based on that arbitrary date. How can members of the legislature deal with this and still keep their seats come re-election?
That's a great question. There has been unintended consequences and differentials, or just differences in what neighbor is paying and what the next person over is paying. As far as I understand, and from my perspective, there's not going to be a serious conversation about property tax reform in the session that starts this week. And there's a couple reasons for that. We have a budget crisis right now in the state, and I'm putting all my energy into looking at fixing the fact that Oregon is last in the nation on corporate taxation, kind of a follow-up to the Measure 97 debate. I think it's where we have to go first. It's very difficult to have a conversation about property taxes when we really should be looking at corporate taxes right now. If a year or so, if we get to the corporate taxation conversation and that gets settled, then maybe we want to have a broader discussion around property taxes. But right now, everyone is focused on corporate taxes because that's hopefully how we're going to fill our budget hole.
Let's take a call. We've got Steve and Eugene on the line. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the Exchange.
Howdy. Actually, my comment was exactly on property taxes. My mother died. We sold her home for much more than she paid for it, and the people that bought it were still paying the same taxes that my mother was. It seems to me that when you sell a home, the buyer is setting the fair market value, and when a home changes hands, why can't that fair market selling price be the base for the taxes instead of what they were paying before?
All right, Steve, thanks for that. You want to take a swing at that, Speaker Kotek? Why? I mean, why is it so hard to take legislative action on this issue?
Well, and I think that's a really excellent point. That's one of the real basic, I think, easily understandable questions that people have. When you sell, does it reset your base, and why shouldn't it go up? I think that's a really good conversation to have. The reality is, it's very difficult, I think, to adjust the complicated property tax structure unless we look at a bunch of other parts of our tax system. Many times people say, let's do property tax reform, and let's look at income tax reform and sales taxes and all this stuff together, but I don't want to pay any more. I just want to pay differently. Our challenge right now at the state is we have a $1.8 billion shortfall between what we currently do and what revenue is coming into the state. So therefore, right now, our focus is on corporate taxation, trying to fill the gap. And while I understand there are property tax issues, you know, I think it's just the hierarchy of needs right now. And the biggest need right now is to solve our budget shortfall, which is more of a corporate tax issue than a property tax issue.
Let's get to some of these other housing issues on the litany of them introduced as bills to the Oregon legislature. The session starts Wednesday. Another housing-related act would be the Right to Rest Act, which would allow people who are homeless to use public spaces for resting and eating. It's HB 2215, and enforcement would come from the Bureau of Labor. What do you think of this one, Speaker Kotek?
I think it's a a genuine attempt to say we have a problem in that we can't provide enough shelter, there's not enough housing, and people need a place to go. It's, you know, a big issue here in Portland. I'm assuming it's a issue in pretty much every community up and down the I-5 corridor, that we have individuals who are unhoused, who need a place to sleep at night and be during the day. You know, if we don't have a solution to get people sheltered, then we're going to have to take this up very seriously to give more rights for folks on the street.
Right. This Right to Rest Act, it helps to sort of decriminalize existing in a public space if you have nowhere else to be. But is there any legislation aimed at actually sheltering people or creating more resources to meet the needs?
Well, we'd like to do more. In fact, in the 2016 session last year, we saw that there was a continuingly difficult situation out there, so we put another $10 million statewide into our existing emergency housing and shelter assistance programs to help buttress community efforts. My guess is a lot of that money's already been spent, and we're not even through the second year of the biennium. So we'd like to do more. This goes back to our broader budget challenge at the state. If we had more revenue, I would put $50 million more into both emergency housing and shelter assistance combined to provide more resources for local communities. We have to keep people from becoming homeless, so that's usually rent assistance when they're having trouble paying rent, and then shelter if they are homeless. We have to do more. I think every community in the state is struggling to figure out how to do more.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Oregon Speaker of the House, Tina Kotek. She's here talking about how to deal with housing issues and crises around the state. Join this discussion. How would rent control provisions affect you? Are you a tenant, a landlord? Share your take and ask the speaker a question, 800-838-3760, or you can email us, jx@jeffnet.org. Speaker Kotek, you just brought up rental assistance. Mm-hmm. There's a bill in there that would actually provide assistance to landlords of low-income housing if their tenants don't pay rent and sort of be a stopgap to avoid these evictions that can make people homeless and get them to a point kind of no return or a very difficult return in their lives for a while. How would the state pay for that measure?
Well, and I don't support that particular measure because I believe it's a tax credit to landlords who provide a $100 rental assistance payment to their tenants.
Mm-hmm.
It's not means tested, so it could be anybody. It doesn't require the landlord to stop increasing the rent, and it's a tax credit we can't afford. So my preference, if we have more resources, is to put into the programs I just mentioned, emergency housing assistance, shelter assistance. Those go out through local community organizations already. They are means tested. In other words, you know, if someone has an income issue, you know, they're eligible for the program. So that would be my preference. I think this is a good point about strategies. You know, I think we're getting a lot of pushback that all we want to do is talk about the landlords. You have to have a multifaceted strategy to solve this crisis. It's so deep. We need to preserve affordable housing, what we do have, and that will take resources. We need to build more housing, both affordable and workforce and market rate housing. We are, you know, 50,000 units short just this year around the state for just basic housing stock. And then we also need to protect renters in a difficult environment, which is where you get to the rent stabilization and just cause discussion. So I think everyone has to understand we need everything. And I think it's unfair when people say, oh, you just want to pick on the landlords. We're not picking on landlords. We need to stabilize the market. Everyone's being affected by the instability in our rental market.
And when you get that pushback about picking on landlords, you mentioned House Bill 2004 earlier, the no-cause eviction ban. Is that one in particular that people take issue with? It's perhaps infringing on what they see as private property rights?
Yes. You definitely hear that from landlords. I think there's, to be very frank about it, I think there's a lot of fear out there from landlords who have the no-cause eviction tool in their landlord toolbox right now, and it allows them some ability to remove a problem tenant. I think most landlords are good landlords. They're trying to do the right thing. They are being overshadowed by the bad landlords out there who are really doing wholesale no-cause evictions for solely the purpose of trying to figure out how they can, you know, charge people more rent and make more money in the market. So we have a lot of inequity in the system right now, and improving how a landlord can evict someone to protect tenants in a better way, I think, will help everyone. But I I really hear that landlords are concerned about that. I'm asking them to come to the table to figure out how we can do that better.
And what do you think the future holds for these kinds of bills? Is it a rosy one, or is this the beginning of a multi-session fight?
Well, we started, I would say, the housing fight to some degree in 2016 when we passed, we lifted the prohibition on inclusionary zoning policies. So now cities can have inclusionary zoning, which means they can require a certain amount of affordable units in new construction. So we did that last year, and that was a bit of a fight. We also improved notices for rent increases to 90 days. So if you're on a month-to-month, your landlord has to give you 90 days notice on a rent increase instead of 60, which has helped some people. So I felt like we started the discussion last year. We're back at it this year. You know, our housing crisis is bad for our economy. It's bad for people's stability. And we're going to keep pushing as hard as we can. If we don't get it this year, we're going to go back next year. But we're going to keep pushing because we know this is what's important right now, and we hear it on the doors from voters. We hear it from people in emails. They're concerned. We have to fix it.
Let's look up and out for a minute. Things like inclusionary zoning, like our property or not having inclusionary zoning and our property tax structure, a ban on rent control measures here in Oregon. How does that compare with our neighbors, with California and Washington and other states? Are we kind of the last to the party with these tenant protection measures?
I would say that there are more tenant protections in Washington and California. I'd have to go look at my chart. I do think I know that Washington and California allow local policies. Oregon just banned it entirely across the state back in the 80s. And unfortunately, I think that's led to some of our problems now. You know, cities like Portland and Bend and Eugene have not had the ability to kind of control their own rental market, and I do think that's hurt us. And other states are doing just fine. There are ways to devise local policies that are fair and reasonable, but also protect tenants.
And those local policies may be part of the equation here for House Bill 2003. It's one of at least half a dozen that have been floated to the Oregon legislature. The session convenes on Wednesday. You've been listening to Speaker of the House, Tina Kotek, with her agenda for how to deal with Oregon's housing crisis. Speaker Kotek, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Emily, and thank you for taking up this important topic.